So we missed last week. But now we'll do introduction. I'll do a little bit on Shevet Nechemta, and then we can decide. Either we'll do a little bit on Kisavo, what I had for last week, or we can start on Nitzavim. Okay. So, I don't know. I haven't looked it up. It says on the board in some Vayelech. I'm not sure that's true. Is it? I don't know.
It's definitely in Nitzavim. It might not be double.
I don't think it's double, but I don't know. Okay. So, last time we spoke about some of the different sources for where Haftarah came from. The Avodram, that it came from a time when there was a Takana against reading the Torah. Ravun Margolyos, Ram Shalfal Hirsch, that it was to polemicize against the sectarians who denied the canonical stature of Nach. Rabbeinu Tam, I mentioned to you last time, but now I put here. It's in a Mivulbal form in Sefer Yasher itself, but it's quoted clearly by Sefer Machria, who thinks that it's the... I won't read through it. I mentioned last time that it's in the Iker Gzera of Ezra. The Taj Beit says, no, it's just a minog. It's Kavod Nevi'im. A possibility I didn't mention last time that was noted to me last week by Joel Rich. Everyone know who Joel Rich is?
No.
No, Joel Rich is a good person to know. Do you know the Torah Musings blog? Website. Torah Musings? Yehurim? Whatever. What? It's the... It's like the modern Orthodox. It was a blog, now it's a website.
What?
Joe Rich? No. So on that website, once a week, there's something called Audio Roundup. So Joe Rich is, I think, an actuary by profession. But every week, he puts out an audio roundup of all the shiurim he's listened to with a little bit of a summary. He usually does about 30 shiurim a week. It's very impressive. It's something to strive for if you're not going into chinuch or something. You can still learn 30 hours, 40 hours a week while you're in business. It's very impressive. And he thinks about things very carefully and sends emails to people who write shiurim with haros. So he noted to me, and then I saw this also noted by Encyclopedia Talmudit, actually, that there's another position in the Shibboleth Halakhet, quoting the... What? He, in this case, did listen to mine and sent me an email. It was very appreciated. Thank you, Joel. So the Shibboleth Halakhet, quoting the Sefer HaPardes, the Rashi, gives another possibility that perhaps this is a remnant of the minhag to learn after davening. And he writes, this you don't have in your Makarshis, because I had it after I printed, but I put it here, that minhag rishonim hayo lishot sha'achas l'achar tfilasam, gizanan chazim rishonim hayo lishot sha'achas, al zeh osipu lomar ashra yishu v'secha, klomar ashram v'secha, k'mo v'deshu v'kodesh, v'atadu v'shem agon, adem israel v'atzir v'asim t'vazu v'va, g'edah acheretz v'masan karen t'hilu david yikra imayin, sh'kein der acheretz, and this is where ashra came from, and that's why if you're going to shul and they're saying ashra, you should read with them. So they would learn Torah and Nach and Mishnah. Then afterwards they read Nevi'im. And then you go on, you learn other things. And then he says at the end, right, he implies that Haftorah is a remnant of this minhag, that we would just learn Navi after davening. Okay. So, that's Hashlama from last time. Now moving on to a second avenue of introduction. So Rav Moshe, notes in his introduction to Haftaros. There's a general Chakira in Kriyas HaTorah in general. There are two perspectives in Kriyas HaTorah. Either Kriyas HaTorah was instituted as a weekly public Talmud Torah, which is at some level the simple implication of the Gemara in Bava Kamma, right? That the Gemara says, when did we institute... How are you? When did Moshe institute the first iteration of Kriyas HaTorah? That they were walking, there was no Torah, they went 3 days without Mayim, Ein Mayim Ela Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu realized that he didn't set up an institution, people would go days without learning, so he set up Kriyas HaTorah. Another perspective is to say that it's not about public learning, but it's a public experience, a public reenactment of Priyasa Torah, as it were. Similar to the Rambam, and this is the next source that you have. What? Matan Torah. Revelation. Sorry, Matan Torah. Revelation. Right, it's parallel to the way the Rambam understands Hakel, which some people understand that our Priyasa Torah is a to some extent, a remembrance of that minhag of Hakel. And if you look at the Rambam in Exodus, mitzvah zaaseh lahakel kol Yisrael nashim betaf bechol motzah yishmita balzam leregel ukrozim bazneim and atar parashiyot shehein mizar zarot zan mitzvah mechazkim yidem b'dan emet shen emre keitshav shanim bovei shanata shmita b'chag zot b'vokal Yisrael lorot akal azam shim and hashim atav v'gomer v'ger chashim sharecha. And he explains later, this is parallel to interrupt it, basically that it's the experience of everybody publicly learning together. So why is this important? So Rav Moshe correctly notes that we have two types of haftoros. Rove of the year, the haftorah reflects what? What? The parsha. So that usually it parallels the Kriyas HaTorah, which, if anything, is more parallel to the Limud Torah side of Kriyas HaTorah. Right? We emphasize the themes of the Torah reading with parallel passages in the Nevi'im. If you look right in the next paragraph here, right, the prophetic treatment of the issue clarifies what is stated in the Parsha, expands and develops it, and or fits into a wider framework. In this way, we are invited to compare and or contrast the two passages to see additional context of the basic principle and the like, all this in order that we should reach a more profound understanding of the Parsha. But there's an exception, which are this time of year, where we have 12 weeks in a row where our Haftorah is not related to the Parsha, but it's related to the theme of the year, the theme of the time, right? There, those are the three. Right, the three of which speak about destruction of the Beis Hamikdash from Shabbat Shabbatamah to Tisha B'Av. This minhag, by the way, comes from the Psikta. Then what we call the Sheva Dinachemta, the seven that we have consolation, and then the two of and then the Tshuva ones, and similarly the ones in Yom Tov. What?
Psikta is who?
Psikta is a Eretz Yisrael Midrash, an early Eretz Yisrael Midrash. Psikta Rav Kana.
What about the Arba Parshios?
What?
The Arba Parshios.
The Arba Parshios also.
But it's sort of related to the Torah.
Well, it's related to the additional Torah reading. So we note that it seems like in Haftorah you have both elements. You have what he calls the learning Torah and then the experiential. That on this sort of 12 weeks of the year, the Haftorah does not relate to the Parsha, it's not about Lima Torah, it's about the time of year. It enhances our experience of the 3 weeks leading up to Tisha B'Av, then the 7 weeks, then the Tshuva period. And he calls this sounding the spiritual position of prophecy, right? According to this, the essence of Haftorah is not to explain the Torah portion, but to direct the Jew once a week to the words of the prophets that relate to his existential situation. The purpose of the Haftorah is to sound the spiritual position of prophecy regarding matters that constitute the agenda of our lives. Therefore, during the periods of the year when there are special spiritual needs, when we must relate to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, whether prior to the date of the destruction through rebuke and lamentation, or after through consolation and penitence, or when we must relate to the holiday of Pesach, the Haftorah are dedicated to these issues and ignore the Torah reading. He notes that this idea comes up in other places. For example, the minhag that we mentioned last week, that for the Shabbat Chatan, you would say Sosa Sis, right? And he quotes from Rav Sadia Gaon, that he found a tshuva of Rav Shmuel Bar Gershon that said that when the Rambam died, that doesn't make any sense. That doesn't make sense. When Rav Shreira, the father of Haigon, died, there we go, they read that Shabbos from, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, read the Haftorah, now the days of David drew near that he should die. Meaning, they changed the Haftorah to mourn that Rav Shreira God. So you see again that it's not just this part of the year, people actually did this. Right? We don't do it as much now, though. Again, like I said, I know people who tried to do so assist. He also notes here that some posts can think that you should lechatchila do Shnai Mikra with Haftorah. but it's really only lechatchila. He said this justifies doing a weekly limud on haftarah, so the same is true for us. Great. Okay, so now moving to the Shevet Dine Chemta. The Matzor Vitri, and this is repeated in a slightly more condensed form in Tosvos. The Matzor Vitri is the base measures of Rashi. Tosvos is obviously later in the Ashkenaz milieu, right, that the reason that we have the Shevet Dine Chemta in the order that we do is because we constantly are most of, this is after the English stuff, that's Ezra Moshe, we constantly are most of Tanchumen, meaning the Tanchumen get bigger than greater. And that's why, right, if you follow it, right, as you get to the end, it becomes more of a pinnacle of Nechama. And for example, if you look at last week, you'll see this is true, right? At that point, the Haftarah describes sort of the overturning of nature, right? God will, right, there'll be a new light. It won't be the light of the sun, it'll be the light of God. Yerushalayim will be the center of the world. All the people who used to be our enemies will now come and help us and serve us. And this week, which is this coming week, which we'll talk about probably more on Thursday, we get to the pinnacle of it, where while in this week's Haftarah, or last week's Haftarah rather, we reach the pinnacle of our relationship with God as Avadim, right? God is described as the king of the world, and we, you know, were his servants before, and now everyone will be his servants, and therefore will help us, who are always his servants. Next week, or this week, we move to the epitome of the relationship between God and human beings, which is that of husband and wife. We move from the relationship of Yira to the relationship of Ava, as it were, which fits both the theme of last week and this week, and this notion from the Machzor Vitri and Tosos, that we continuously speak about things that are more and more, or greater and greater Tanchumen. The Avudram gives a different explanation of how the Haftarah work together, and he says, and he describes that there's a dialogue. You start with Nachamu Nachamu Ami. Klomer Shakadosh Baruch Hu Amar Levim Nachamu Nachamu Ami. God speaks to the Nevi'im and says, comfort my people. Alzem Mishiva Knesset Yisrael V'tomer Tzion Azavani Hashem. So the Jews then respond and say, Sion complains, Hashem has left me. Meaning, I don't want the consolation from the Nevi'im, I want it from God. So, now God himself turns them. Right, so the Nevi'im responds to God. They don't want us, they want you. So the next haftar is Anochi, Anochi, Hum Menachemchem. Hashem says, fine, I will personally be the one to comfort you. Omer od Rani Akarala Yeladav, Omer Kumi Arikiva Reich, and Alzeb, Shivak in Israel, so sasis. And once Hashem has said that he's going to comfort us, Knesset Yisrael responds, then we will rejoice in Hashem. Klomer ata yeshli lasus l'smach tegel nafshi belohai kivil shani big day yesha. And again, that explains where we were last week and this coming week, this week being the pinnacle, where Knesset Yisrael describes his relationship with God as the married couple. Okay, do we want to do a few things that we missed last week? Famous things in last week, and then Thursday we'll do Nitzavim, and then next week we'll do Shabbat Shuvah. And then I don't know what the schedule is after that. Okay, so there's a few things on last week's. So basically, last week's talks about this upheaval of nature, both the geopolitical situation and nature itself, in terms of like the natural world. This is the basis for Chazal's notion that we will no longer have natural light, right? There was the light that was hidden since the time of Shesh Yimei Breishis that we'll use, because the Psukim say that no longer will the sun and the moon shine, rather God himself will shine. This theme of light is found throughout the Haftarah, and it's the basis in the Midrash for the very famous line. I just brought it for you so you should know where it comes from. If you look at the second one, last one here, it's from the Yalkut here. Yerushalayim Oru Shel Olam Shenemar V'alchu Goyim La'Reich Umi Oru Shel Yerushalayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shenemar V'alchu La'Or Olam. It comes from this Haftarah that it builds on this notion that eventually there will be this light. What is this light? Yerushalayim will be the place where everyone comes to for inspiration, and God is what's inspiring Yerushalayim, and that's what it means, that Yerushalayim is Orosh HaOlam, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Orosh HaOlam Yerushalayim. In the end, everyone will recognize God. That comes from last week's Haftorah. Two more points from last week's Haftorah. Towards the end of the Haftorah, it describes, right, like I said, the Haftorah is describing how the Jews will go from being this sort of disgraced nation to the elite of the geopolitical situation. And there Hashem promised us that we'll get, you know, Olam Haba. And that's the Mishnah here. Kol Yisrael Yeshlem Chelok Olam Haba, Shneimar, Vamech Kulam Tzadikim, Lo Olam Yeshu Aretz, Nesar Ma'atay, Ma'asei Yadayi Lizmaher. We say it every week before Pirkei Avos. It comes from the 10th Parak of Sanhedrin. It was interesting, and I noticed this last week, because like I said, what is the theme of last week's Haftarah? It's that the political situation will change to the point where it's not just us who are serving God, but it's who? It's the whole world. So now, if Chazal bring the source for the fact that all of Klal Yisrael have a chelek in Olam Haba from a perek which talks about how in the end of days it won't only be the Jewish people serving God, but it'll be everybody. So what conclusion might one reach from the fact that Chazal chose to use the pasuk that comes from that particular perek in Tanakh? Good, and if you look at the Rambam, that's how the Rambam read it, and I think this is where he got it from context in Yeshayahu, because if you look at the Rambam, the next two sources, he said, V'chein kol ha-rishayim, v'chein rubim danosak v'chadeim, yishlam chelok lam haba, shekol yishol yishlam chelok lam haba, afal pi shechatu, shenemar, v'amech kolam tzadikim v'olam yishu haretz, eretz zu mashal klomar eretz ha-chaim v'olam haba, v'chein chasidei umas ha-olam yishlam chelok lam haba, and non-Jews who are chasidim also do. But note, in the next source, in Perek Ches Alchid Alvel Malachim, the Rambam says something even more striking, and he says, what does it mean for someone to be a chassid umas olam who gets olam haba? Only the hushi kabel, if you skip the hushi kabel, o son, v'yaseh o son, v'nishat sila, v'an ha-kodesh baruch hu, v'torah, v'yadienu, al-yidei Moshe, rabbeinu, v'enoch, mikodem, nitzdavu, ba'en. Someone is only a chassid umas olam, it's not only keeps the shevet mitzvah enoch, but he keeps it because Hashem commanded it to Moshe in the Torah, and recognizes that even the shevet mitzvah are part of the Torah system. So I think that part of what might have driven the Rambam to this particular read, that non-Jews have a chelek in Olam Haba, but only insofar as they not just keep the Seven Mitzvah Noach, but buy into the Jewish system, is the fact that Chazal choose their source text for this notion from Yeshayahu Perach Samech, which talks about the future when the whole world will come to recognize God in Yerushalayim, which can easily be read as they will have a portion in the Olam Haba of the Jews if they not just serve God, but serve God through the lens of Yerushalayim, meaning recognizing that the Torah was true. One more point, and this is a very famous midrash also, is that we shouldn't think that it's just on God to save us. We also have the ability to bring this geula, and that's the famous line in Sanhedrin Tzadiches, that what?
It's the end of
Kishav,
the end of
Kishav. Yes, Yeshayahu Perek Samach, yeah. There's Alexandri, this is last page. Yeshua ben Levi Rami, Ksiv Bi'ita, Ksiv Achishena. In one place it says that the gula will come at its time, and one say, I will hurry it. Zachu, I'm saying one part of the pasuk says, Bi'ita, one says Achishena, or really two words in the pasuk, and Chazal Darshan, Zachu Achishena, Lo Zachu Bi'ita, which means that, right, God promises that He will redeem us no matter what. But if we're Zocha, then we can speed it along, which underscores the fact that we are not just passive in this, but we're active participants in it. Okay, so that's a little bit more on Haftarah in general, Shevet de Nechemta, a little bit on last week's. On Thursday, we'll talk about the pinnacle of the seven ones, where we describe the relationship of God and Israel as a married couple, and what the implications are of that. So.